Our next presentation is going to be flatbed scanner rhizotrons for demonstrating root development as a classroom lab experience, and Jared Williams will be our speaker.
I'm Jared Williams. My co-author is Rob Mickelson with IPNI, and I represent Brigham Young University, Idaho. A lot of people think that's, when I say that, I think that's Brigham Young University. We're actually the former Ricks College. So if you ever heard about Ricks College, it became a four-year university, and that's who we are. We are, I guess, in a way, a sister university to Brigham Young. We all fall under the same board. Anyway, so what I want to talk about is a project that Rob Mickelson, my co-author, approached me about, and that was sticking flatbed scanners in soil, which most people think I'm crazy. I do believe that does void the warranty on them. But we haven't ruined one yet over a year. Anyway, some of the challenges that I've noticed with laboratories is a lot of times I wrote the word staged up there, but maybe the word canned is more appropriately. Here's the lab manual, and you get down, the students get done with the lab manual, going through each step, they get to the end, there's the questions, and they raise their hand, and they say, "Dr. Williams, what's this?" And I'm like, "Didn't you just do that?" "Well, no, I just read the instructions and did what it said." There's no synthesizing of information. And so one of the things that I see is, yeah, we're trying to get critical thinking out of these people when they get to the end and answer the questions, but we're not getting any critical thinking. Another thing is students' curiosities. Most of them is, "Dr. Williams, will we get out early today?" Not curiosity. When do we get out? There's no ownership of what they're doing, so there's not that internal interest in it. Another thing is I designed this for a crop physiology class. And so for root development, it's one of the things we discuss in there. And I wrote underappreciated. They don't really understand what the roots are doing. We all worry about what's above the ground. Yield, yield, yield. We want more grain in the kernel, for example, more forage to harvest. Roots are pretty important to making sure that's improved. So underappreciated. And they're also difficult to demonstrate because if you didn't notice, roots grow in the soil. And it's hard to see that. Anyway, so now I'm glad the Purdue folks went in front of me because my next point is also writing. I'm glad to hear that BYU-Idaho students aren't the only ones that struggle with the writing thing. I think a lot of Purdue, so that makes me feel a little bit better about it. And so what are ways that we can help them with the writing? But more importantly, nobody ever writes a term paper after they leave college for the most part. They're writing stuff that's going to be published. They're writing stuff that needs to share information, communicate ideas with other people. So that's one of the struggles. And then I wrote technology is not fully utilized either. Of course, most of us don't think of flatbed scanners as things we stick in soil. What I wanted to do in this is develop a laboratory where the students actually design the lab. They design the experiment. That's the idea here. Let them choose which crops they're going to look at. Some semesters I have students that are all from forage. They want to see how alfalfa grows. The next semester I have, in Idaho, we don't grow a lot of corn, so I apologize to corn growers. We get excited about wheat and potatoes. Or these are actually soybeans, which there aren't a lot of soybeans, but hey, it works great in the rhizotron, so we use soybeans. But they also decide what kind of treatments we're going to apply. Are we going to place fertilizer? Where are we going to place that fertilizer? Are we going to try and put a restrictive zone in our rhizotron to see how roots react to that restricted zone? Okay. So the other thing is social media. I will be the first one to admit I do not have a Facebook page. In fact, I have a Facebook slide later showing that. I had to get on my wife's account and do a screenshot. And I had to have my TA show me how to navigate the page. But these students all know how to do it. And so I thought, well, you know, one of the things, that if they're going to be communicating ideas, they really don't have an avenue to do that, say, through the university or through, like, an employment. But for heaven's sakes, with social media, that's a great place for them to share information and practice sharing information with the community at large. Okay? So those are my two kind of my ideas there. So the objectives there are to assist the students in developing their own laboratory procedure. It's going to run, for the most part, the entire semester. Teach them the appropriate research techniques, but also provide that opportunity for them to share that information. OK? Okay, and I think they got excited about all of it. That was the great thing. Okay, so it's my agronomy 440 crop physiology class. It's kind of an odd setup in that there's only, you notice, a 1 hour lab, but that's all right because I have to make scans all the time. So they, it might be only 1 hour of actual sit down time, but they get to come in all the time, day and night, 7 days a week, and take scans. And so really, this kind of a setup for a 1 hour lab was quite ideal for what we were doing. Some of the assignments they had to do throughout the semester is they had to determine which crops they were going to grow and the treatments they were going to apply to those. They had to actually put the rhizotrons together, which was a lot of fun. Take turns scanning the roots, write a lab report, create time-lapse videos of root growth, which they were to post on the internet via YouTube, and then share that information and through a lot of them did it through Facebook. Okay, so the materials for the rhizotron were pretty simple. I mean, soil, had plenty of that around. There was no shortage of the soil. We bought these scanners. One of the tricks about the scanners is you got to make sure that all the electronics are on one end of it. Those do need to stay dry. We did try and caulk them. We found that was useless, so we just drilled holes in the bottom and let the water drain out the bottom. Computer, we used tin foil at the top just to kind of seal off so light couldn't get into there. And then I love the idea. We could use any garbage can, but I had to use a recycling garbage can. That just seemed appropriate for the project. Okay. So, like I said, we used the caulk to try and seal them up as best we could. One of the key things to making this work, and we've had a lot of experience with it now, is to put those things in V-shape. That kind of keeps the roots contacting the glass, which is important for scanning. We filled it with soil. We also learned a few things about with that. The first time we did it, we ran all the soil through the soil grinder. We thought we wanted really fine stuff. That was a problem. What we found was the best solution was to put it in there just like we dug it outside. Not after a rainstorm, though. That would be a bad idea. But, when it's about filled capacity, that was pretty ideal. We maintained a little bit of soil structure, at least that way. And the soil wasn't bone dry like when we ran it through the grinder, for example. Place the treatments in there. I say place the treatments before the seeds because a lot of times what my students were interested in was looking at how banding fertilizer affected root growth. And so obviously you got to place those and then bury them and then seed. The other thing is when you have students, this reminds me, when you have students that have never grown soybeans, you have to explain to them seeding depth. You might see in some of these pictures where soybeans are planted like 2 inches. Anyway, we plant the seeds, and then we ran scans every 24 hours. We used to do every 12 hours when I had 10 students in the class, but when I have 4, that seemed a little excessive. So this semester, when we are teaching class this semester, we are only having them scan them once a day. That's flexible, I suppose. So here's some of the results that we've gotten with what we've done. This is a project we did this semester, actually. It was a comparison of different fertilizers placed with the seed. We had a student that was interested in some of these products. Simplot company had come to him and said, hey, look, I'm interested in this Nutrisphere N thing, and does it really protect my seed? Can I place more nitrogen with the seed? So we set these up. We put approximately 50 pounds of each product, or 56 K per hectare equivalent. Now, when you're working with just one seed, our plus or minus range on that 56 K is probably 20. But anyway, so we placed that with the seed, and I don't have any of the scans yet because it's this semester's project, but we did dig out the seeds because after a week and a half, 10 days, it was obvious what was happening. If they weren't going to grow, they weren't going to grow. And we did burn everything. We have some urea with Nutrisphere N on it, and you can see a sprout came off of it, but what's really neat, if you zoom in on there, the radical that was coming out of there is nice and black. It's nicely burned. And then our two controls there, which grew very well. Now what he's doing is we're doing the same treatments, but we placed the fertilizer band an inch below, and we're running those right now. The preliminary results is the urea still burned the seed, but the Nutrisphere end products have done very well in allowing those, protecting the seed from ammonium burn. So, fabulous project there. Here's the one with Facebook, the one I told you I had to get on my wife's account to look at. This is a really neat one. This was looking with soybeans and phosphorus. But what was really neat about this is you can, apparently you can put your slides on Facebook and then do a slideshow with them. Some of you are shaking your head, so I'm assuming you can do that. And so he would put them in order of the way we were doing the slides, so it was like time lapse. You could watch it. And you notice at the bottom he's got friends commenting on it, talking, asking him what they're seeing there and asking questions. And the thing is, if you scroll through there and look at the questions, some of them have one of them is about trees and phosphorus. I mean, they don't even necessarily have to do with soybeans and phosphorus. But it's opening up all this discussion about fertilizers, where to place them, the effects on them, and the students have to interact with them. And these aren't students in the class. These are students. I mean, the people that are asking the questions, they're people that are his friends on Facebook, right? And so it's given them not only the opportunity to share the knowledge, but they're actually interacting with the community. Well, it's hard to say at large because I guess you have to be his friend, but communicating with other people. And that's been a fantastic application of it, too. And I'll admit, at first I didn't foresee this. This student just actually, this is the first semester I taught, during the first semester I taught this, the student just started doing that. And then he says, "Hey, Dr. Williams, look at what's going on here." And I was amazed. I thought, well, why don't we, in the future, incorporate that into as part of the curriculum? Okay. The final resulting discussion I have here is the time-lapse videos. What I've discovered is students understand this multimedia a lot better than we ever did as students. Of course, you know, PowerPoint and making your own videos was not something we could do as students. But they can do this stuff. I mean, they get on the computers and they make this stuff. It's amazing. Anyway, so we had them make, what we did is we used PowerPoint. You could bring in both pictures, your control and whatever treatment you were looking at, put them side by side, and you just go through all through and make several PowerPoints, and then you can save that out. Well, if you use a Mac, and I'm a Mac user, the Mac version of PowerPoint allows you just to save that as an MOV file. And then we upload that. They just uploaded that up to YouTube. And this is a screenshot off of YouTube with all the different different ones that we've done, all kinds of different treatments they've done on there. Here's an example of one of them. I'm hoping it'll play for us. It'll take about a minute to get through. It's not very long. Well, the interesting thing is this one hit that phosphorus band right off the bat, watching that root there grow. Anyway, fascinating. You know, it's just 1 minute. Like I said, the videography there is probably not the greatest thing. I'm not going to be getting any Hollywood award for it, but it's pretty neat to watch the roots grow. So some of the things that we've learned from this with the students is, first of all, they're very interested in it. They're active about it. I like the word ownership. I don't know if that's the perfect word for it, but ownership, because they designed it. It's their experiment. And the greatest thing is they're not only designed it, but they're collecting and processing the data. And it gives that much ownership to them. They get to see the project from the beginning, from coming up with the idea all the way to seeing the results. Okay, the application via social networking, never imagined how that would take off. But like I said, I don't have a Facebook account, so I had no, I mean, it just blew me away with what that would do. And then that whole sharing of knowledge and the questions they were getting asked. I mean, it was just fabulous. Never imagined it would be so good. So in conclusion, what we found is our Rhizotron now / social media. When I first put this together, I thought I was just going to talk about Rhizotrons, but after I saw what the social media was doing, I had to throw that in. It's a beneficial way for the students to actually be excited about coming to lab and seeing what's going on and actually getting beneficial information out of it and I think skills that will help them in their careers. Okay. Here's a few of the comments, and you can see the first comment is probably an example of poor writing for our Purdue folks, but yeah, that's what the student said. By having the opportunity to watch roots grow, I was able to better understand root development and proper fertilizer placement. I better understand the importance of proper fertilizer placement. Apparently that was important to him. He repeated it. I never imagined that images of soybean roots growing would be so popular on my Facebook page. I actually had people waiting each day to see the next photo. He'd come and say, "Dr. Williams, they're just wanting to see the next photo. Can I go get it and upload it on my machine?" I'm like, "Yeah, go get it." So it was quite exciting. With that, I'd like to have my acknowledgments, thank those that helped put this together and participate. And Mary, if we have any questions, any time for questions?
Yeah, let's please give our speaker a hand. Do we have any questions?
Yes. Well, since we haven't ruined one yet, we've been running them for a year, and we've probably done, at Brigham Young University, we have a three-semester system, so we only have 6 weeks off. So they've actually been running, since we put them in January, they've been running till now. We've probably ran 5 or 6 experiments through them. We haven't ruined one. $70 for the scanner, so they're replaceable. Yes. Yeah.
But your wedding front only went down maybe 1 or 2 inches and then dried out.
Right.
Has anybody ever paid a little more attention to the wedding front or the roots or the fertilizer? Because it seems like the fertilizer dried it out a little bit.
Right. No, and those are all good concerns. That what you saw was the first run at it, so there's plenty of mistakes. One of the things the students were doing was watering it and then scanning it. But we've learned better ways to water. And do all those things. So we've gotten better at it. It's one of those things, practice makes perfect, right? And so, yeah, those are all legitimate concerns and things that we've worked through.